This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameyo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
Hello.
And Roberto.
Forever second.
I don't know
again.
Why I keep calling you Roberto on the podcast.
I'm sure new listeners are probably like, oh,
who's Roberto?
He sounds exotic.
His name is Robbie.
But that's your normal reference to him when
podcasting. Yeah, I call you Roberto a lot. Robbie. Robbie Payne.
What's hilarious is the way that stuff works. Just nicknames in general. Like what? Which Joe is from Meade County in Kentucky. Joe. So he is born and bred to nickname all things.
It's just just how we communicate with
you
things and
all
people.
Things. It's crazy. I had a really good friend in high school, and he came. I grew up in Meade County, and so they moved to Elizabethtown, and he nicknamed everything.
Yeah, like, it's just
everything.
You gotta
like
games, yeah. You name your trip.
It's so odd because I grew
you
up
name all
in
your
the
friends.
Country. I grew up on a farm.
Grew up in Meade County.
It's a Meade County.
In Hardin County, one
it's
county, county yeah. adjacent.
It's different.
My
different
mom's
world.
Family is from Meade County. We did not nickname anything. It's just so weird. It's like two different worlds.
Nicknames are just so interesting, though, because like my parents a lot of times will refer to me as Rob. No one calls
which
me Rob.
Which is so weird.
No one.
Yeah.
And if anyone else calls me Rob, it's super
you're
weird.
You're like, what? But they say
Rob?
It, and you're just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's almost like a term of endearment kind of thing. And so I don't even consider it. I don't even think about it. And then I'm like, oh, wait, they do call me Rob like all the time. But it's not the same. Like, it's super weird. Like, my stepmom basically raised me, and we always called her Belinda. Just that's the way we grew up.
Yeah.
But calling her that didn't feel any different than calling her mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Like her name almost became in my brain synonymous with that. So
sure.
It's super weird how nicknames work. So like when you call me Roberto, I don't even think about it.
That's like, Roberto over there.
Just what my son, we don't call him by his name around the house. He is the boy child. That is what we call him.
Boy child.
Yeah, boy child is his like his login for his Chromebook.
Oh, that's
he
funny.
Is the boy child.
That's
his Roblox name. And
he'll have to unpack that when he turns.
I know.
If I say boy child, he comes running. He's like, hey, Dad, what's up?
That's
like,
great. Yeah. I said that I had everything ready for the podcast. We're getting started a little later. And I remembered Paul, the plant. I remembered Dan, the dino.
Boom.
I forgot my water. I knew I was forgetting something. I got the light going. We're rocking and rolling.
You get water after the break.
That's right. Yeah. I got to power through.
So did you like the strawberry?
I loved it.
Really?
But I like strawberries and cream stuff. And it's very real strawberry flavor.
I might be
Dr.
Like,
Pepper,
I
zero
love,
sugar,
yeah,
strawberries
I love
cream.
A real strawberry milkshake with real strawberries.
You might like that then.
Yeah.
But I've never had a strawberry beverage where I'm like, that's really good. It's always
a natural strawberry milkshake.
We're not drinking any coffee today, but shout out to Fresh Roasted Coffee.
Yet,
I know. it's like the weather outside is warm, but it's not. It's going to get cold. It's strange.
It's going to be cold. Like when we get done with this, it'll be snowing probably.
Yes. Shout out Shout out to Fresh Roasted Coffee. If you want a bag of special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend.
I had some coffee today.
Yeah.
I've had some
delicious.
Yeah.
I drank two while I was at home loading my Traeger. Because I'm
I hope that I hope that they like the anniversary blend was obviously for their 10-year anniversary.
I hope it's for their 11 too.
Yeah, it's like it's just hung around. Staple, I hope that they just keep bagging it for us. So
to be fair, they've got multiple other blends
that are really
very
enjoyed.
Good. Yeah, Blackbeard's Revenge is fantastic. Yeah,
Tiger Nebula, Dark Nebula.
Never once all drank nebulas. A cup of this. And
all
been
the nebulas.
Like, it's just. So
I've
good.
Got my mom and my sister-in-law on it.
In the espresso machine, it probably wouldn't be great,
right?
Probably.
For like, because that's didn't we get like a little sample thing that had some single origin from them?
I think Josh did,
or Josh yeah, did. Josh I don't did. Know. I remember doing a pot with some
pots, brewed coffee.
Yeah,
it was single origin's awesome,
but
it's just not good in espresso.
The anniversary blend, I feel like you can make a brewed cut with, and it's fantastic in the espresso machine.
Yeah,
so it's a very versatile blend. That's why we picked it. It's our favorite. Yep. If you want to check it out, chromabox.com/coffee.
Brewing a pot once or twice a week, and it's good. But it's like every Monday we get here. Robbie and I usually come in. We drop our kids off at school, and we get here, and we play a little round of golf and make that first cup. And every Monday, it's like, sometimes
so
it just hits different.
It
it's
does.
Like, no, it hits different every single Monday because I have good coffee
good
at home, but I don't have a Breville. And
our hookup, like our setup here, is awesome.
It's perfect.
It's the best. I mean, I come over here like, I mean, the coffee shop downstairs has good coffee.
It is good.
They have good coffee, but we have equally as good coffee up here.
Yeah. There's no downgrade.
I don't go down there to get a cup of coffee if I'm downtown. I just pay for it. I already paid for it here. Okay, let's dig into some news of the week. Let's start with Spotify because we both tried Spotify maybe like a year ago.
I've tried Spotify twice.
Andrew, Andrew got me going on it, that was the first time I tried it again, and then it wasn't working, and I went back, and then recently went back to it again last couple months.
It was actually my go-to back in 2012-ish.
Yeah.
Like that been when it first came
out. I was on Spotify because
it came out.
Too.
I had an iPhone at the time. Mm-hmm. It was the only iPhone I ever had. And one of the girls in the front office at the dealership that I worked at was always had Spotify playing on her computer when I got there. So
there
wasn't a whole lot to choose from.
It's a great service, but there were some issues with some casting.
That was the main issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was the issue.
Casting was just jacked up all
and
the time.
It would just stop. It would just randomly stop. Yeah. And it's super annoying because we put on music in the office and just let it play. And so having music cut off randomly, it's just annoying, especially when you're in the middle of something trying to write or whatever. And
and especially when there was Google Play Music / YouTube Music always available.
Always working.
And now there's all kinds of different solutions. But like Google Play Music was, it had its issues too. But you know, it's had a fervent fan base. You know, there were people that were really bent out of shape when it went away. I was kind of one of them. I was okay with it as long as I was just like, if YouTube Music will just do, remember how long I wrote 6 articles probably about YouTube Music's web player not having a cast button, how absurd that was. I mean, like, those are silly things to not be able to do, and that's one of the things that Spotify couldn't do. Like it was bad at casting. You know, like,
I still miss Google Play Music, and this is my big thing about it, is that my kids are really, they're not musically inclined, but they love music. They love to just have their, you know, Nest Minis play music, or they'll be on their tablets or whatever. Google Play Music had a toggle for explicit filters.
Yeah.
YouTube Music does not.
Nope.
Now you can, even if you apply like the kids settings with Family Link and all that stuff, it doesn't. So if the kids put on some music and then it just goes to whatever's next,
never know.
You never know what's
going
to get.
Spotify does. I haven't tested it yet.
I'd be interested because that would almost be enough to make me switch.
So what happened was, I think we talked about this before, didn't we? The whole like us sharing the account.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it on here or not. just add it to the pile.
Yeah. Just add it on. It is what it is.
But yeah,
we've accepted it at this point.
I've tried it a couple times to this point, and it was casting both times. One time, the first time I tried it, I was like, eh, I don't see enough upside here versus,
right. There was no difference.
Versus Google Play Music at the time.
Right.
Yeah, Google Play Music was the thing that got me onto streaming music. You know, I started with the fact that they had that and had the ability to upload your own stuff. Because that's back in the day.
Yeah,
I had CDs,
cool.
And I converted all of them digitally to 192 kbs. Yeah. You know, which is not like the highest. It's not like Wave, but it also was much better than the streaming standard was right. 128.
Yep.
You know, you could hear it. Like, you basically hear it in like cymbals and high end stuff. Like, it has a garbly sound to it when you compress music like that. And so I hated that sound, and I liked having my own stuff. So I uploaded my entire library, like 15,000 songs or something.
Was there the Vault? Somebody's was the Vault. I don't know if they had a name for theirs or what.
No, because they just used Google Drive. Like, they linked it went through all kinds. It was Google, you know, so it went through all kinds
absolutely.
Of iterations.
Eight versions.
Yeah, but the ability to do that and then upload my album art, you know, you could tack on, if you tacked on the album art using, I had to use a Windows computer to do this, so like, you know, and he'd have to go through name. Some of the albums wouldn't pick up names. I mean, I put a ton of work into my digital music library.
Right.
And so to know I had it somewhere in the cloud, this was early cloud computing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so that's what kind of turned me on to it. And then I just noticed 6 months to 12 months into using the service, they upped the quality of the streams of their own music. Because at first it wasn't good enough. So anything that was my music, I wanted to make sure I heard it in that 192 that I uploaded. And it got better. And their album art was always better, and the naming on the songs was always accurate versus some of the things that I might have messed up over time. And it was just like, well, I started tending to like those, and I started choosing the Google Play version over my version, which is always a clunky thing anyway. Like, when you look up an album and have like your version.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
But that was like the start of me going, yeah, I don't think I'm going to own music anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. I don't have any CDs anymore.
And I still don't
I don't know why I would even want, why would I want them.
And maybe you can explain this to me. I still don't understand why people purchase music that way.
People still like the idea of collecting. It's no different than people buying bourbon or anything else. Like,
but even digitally, because like I know I have some friends.
I
have friends personally that buy albums from Apple Music, and I'm like, why? I don't understand that.
I mean, if you don't want to pay the subscription fee,
right?
I mean, if you don't want to pay the ten,
but this person's also a music person.
They buy stuff all the time, right? That's what happened to me.
You know who it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wonder if the artist gets more of a cut when you buy the album instead of stream it.
Possibly, but in this situation, I literally think it's just a matter of not knowing any different, honestly.
That could be it,
I feel like what it is, but
Some people
streaming as well and listening to this?
See, that's the thing. I don't think they stream. I think they just buy stuff that they want.
Listen to it.
Yeah.
And I think there's still a lot of people that do that. And I think it's this idea that I don't want, like, what if that service goes away? Like, you know, like I've sold off all my DVDs, for instance. Hey, I'm not going to watch a standard definition DVD like a weirdo anymore.
Like a caveman.
Yeah. Like, all my DVDs were standard def. Yeah. I didn't have any Blu-rays. And so I made that transition way back. And so it's the same idea there, though. Like, I'm going to buy these things so that I can make sure it doesn't fall off of streaming. Like, with movies and TV, that's, I still think, more of a thing. Like, I love Wedding Crashers. I love the movie Wedding Crashers. It's one of those ones every once in a while I just want to watch. And so if I come across it on live television sometimes, I just stop. I went ahead and bought it on Google Play Movies. And so I know I can pull that movie up and watch it because I purchased it. It's not going anywhere. But sometimes it's not streaming anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not on a service because these licensing and stuff, they'll bounce around. They can only be on one.
Yeah.
Music isn't that way.
I feel like they're in the last, honestly, like the last, gosh, probably since I started using Google Play Music, whenever it was fully streaming, there were some times early there when you'd look for an album and it wasn't there yet.
They didn't have it.
Very rare.
And then like maybe,
but like
Spotify did or whatever.
Yeah.
Prince was an example. Prince had an exclusive license with, it might have been Spotify.
Yeah.
It was exclusive with one streaming service. Yeah. Until he passed away, they've opened that up now, but it was very
super rare.
Very,
yeah.
I think
and
YouTube.
Very
did,
rare now.
YouTube
there are
did
a few,
that whole, they were only on Amazon for a long time, but that's outlier stuff.
I'm not even going to guess the artist, but it's an older, well-established artist who recently...
Elvis.
No, like pretty recently, and it might have been around some of the Joe Rogan stuff with Spotify, and they said they were pulling their album. They weren't going to have their album on Spotify. So like, there's going to be random ones like that.
Taylor Swift really threw a fit, but she threw a fit around streaming music in general for a little bit there, and she pulled all her stuff off streaming music, you know, like I don't have enough money.
She's making a little money off the tickets.
The point is, like, these days, I cannot remember a time I've searched for an album on Spotify and it wasn't there.
And that's the thing. Like, of the streaming services now, it has the most robust. Like, there are lots of artists who do specific albums or specific stuff just for Spotify. Yep. And so that's another upside to it. And so it a long answer to the question of, like, why do people buy? Man, I have no idea. Like, other than it's this idea that I have this and it won't go away, but it's just not, that's not music anymore. Like, movies is a different thing. And so I'm not sure. I mean, I guess but that's the thing. If I'm paying for Spotify and it somehow they fold up shop, okay, well, I'll go back to YouTube Music. And if Google cut it off. All right, well, I'll go to, someone's going to pick up that mantle. Guarantee it. There's too much money involved.
Like, I could almost get, I know people who are collectors, vinyl and stuff like that. I get that, like, physical stuff, but, like, somewhere at some point I purchased the movie Interstellar. I have still not watched it. Do not judge me. My wife cracks on me.
Own it. Yeah. Wow.
I don't know where it is. Oh, I don't know what platform I bought it on. It might have been on Movies Anywhere when Movies Anywhere was still a thing.
It's on Vudu.
It might have been Vudu, which is owned by Walmart. I can't find it because it was on the other day and it was like the last 20 minutes of the movie. And I was like, oh man, I really need to watch it. So I clicked to see where it was available to watch. It's not on any. I own like 17 streaming services and there's nowhere I can watch this movie because it's. Is it Sony?
I think so. Yeah. Whoever it is that Nolan makes it.
I was so mad.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what the deal is there. But anywho, you know, I for some reason, I guess you had switched back to it here recently. Mm-hmm. And you've been telling me stuff, different things about it. And I was like, I'm kind of interested. And, you know, you kind of prove the point that the streaming or the casting has been fixed, you know, because it cut off a couple times. I'm like, see, it's still doing that stupid thing. You're like, no, it's because I've switched over to my earbuds.
Headphones, yeah.
And then I didn't realize what they were doing until I got the Tesla.
Yeah.
And so I got the Tesla and I thought, like, oh, I'll just install some apps. No, that's not a thing. It's very low. It's a car, so it's probably
can't
a good thing.
Side load it.
Yeah. You don't want to be hacking this. It needs to be super duper secure. So they have Tidal, Apple Music, and Spotify. Well, Tidal, no. Apple Music.
I did the
Tidal had for Tidal had potential when it first came out,
and
but
they're all about lossless audio and stuff like that. Everything else I listen to, I'm like, I don't have a problem with it. It's not like we're listening to 128 kilobit streaming, and so I was like, well, Spotify is an option in here, and it's built in. Like, I was listening to Bluetooth, and sometimes like the playlist I was listening to would show up, and sometimes it wouldn't.
Right.
I was like, it just feels janky, and then I got to make sure the phone's connected and all that stuff every time versus getting in there, and you got this big old screen. You just go hit the button, or I sit down, and the music just comes right back on because you never really turn the car off, you know? So I was like, this would probably be worth getting a Spotify thing. So I knew you had the subscription.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think they have a family or a group rate or something like that. So we did like the couples. And you got to live in the same address.
It's called Duo, and it was like confirmed that this person lives at the same address as you. And I sent it to Robbie and said, "Yikes!"
They should do all the streaming services should do like a broscription. Yeah, you pay a little bit more because you don't live in the same place, but you know, like,
just group it up.
There's nothing happening.
If anybody from Spotify is listening, sorry, but.
That's what Google does. They let you have your family. You know, it's like friends and family.
I think there's a next tier up. The next tier up is like a family account, but I still think you have to have the same residence.
Probably.
Yeah.
So the residence is here at the office.
Yeah, we're set up. We're rocking and
rolling. We're here enough hours a day.
We own a legal address at this office. Boom.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with it. You can put me on there.
I do sleep here sometimes.
I don't.
I'm wrapped up in one of the moving blankets.
I'm not intentionally gone to bed here ever, but yes.
So, yeah. So I went ahead and, you know, we got signed up and started using it. And then I realized the brilliance in what Spotify has done with the casting part of their solution. And as soon as I realized it, I'm like, I'm sold. Like, because we have our old boss, we talk about all the time, Kenny. You know, he'll constantly be like, oh, look at this thing that Spotify is doing. Like, at the end of the year, the way it wraps up all your stuff and the way that it recommends things and all this stuff, I'm like, oh, I know, Spotify is awesome. And, you know, but I get
the casting was not
I get YouTube Music for free with my YouTube Premium. Again,
right.
I'm, you know, you drag my YouTube Premium account from my cold dead hands.
I'm never giving that up.
No way.
Yeah. Until they give creators an ad free.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be nice.
Then I might get rid of it. I don't
know. Then we'd all be sharing a YouTube.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what have you been watching, dude? Weirdo? Dog music?
Yeah. Mine's just a ton of disc golf videos.
Mine would be a video game. I get my kids watch YouTube on the TV on my
account.
That's
the other thing. My kids and your kids mixed in.
I get Lanky Box and makeup videos.
Lanky Box.
And there's this one.
It'll end one day.
Yeah.
I promise. There's Lanky Box.
They've kind of worn off of that. They're into Preston and Presley now, who are pretty big game, which Preston's like 26, but him and his wife. This one girl they watch, all she does is buy unclaimed luggage and unclaimed packages, and she sits in her bedroom. And I mean, they're clearly very well off. They're probably, I think they're both YouTubers. But I'm like, this stuff pops up in my feed, and I'm like, What is this?
No, I just go through my history and delete it all.
Yeah.
Get rid of this. Get this out of the algorithm.
But
it's weird.
Yeah. So I don't remember the point I was making. So I've got it going. So their whole thing, Spotify's whole thing now with streaming or with casting, is basically on the back end, on the server side, with your account, it's basically keeping up with where you are choosing to play back your music. So I can open my phone, I can open my Chromebook, wherever, on my watch. The Spotify app on Wear OS is pretty good. I can choose the source, basically. It's no different than just an output selector. And I can just choose. I can tell it where I want to output my music. So I pick the album, and then I go, I'm going to output this to my watch. If I got earbuds paired to my watch, boom. And I can listen to on my watch. And then I can immediately hit that button and tell it to go out of my Chromebook. And then tell it to go out of my phone. And tell it to go out of the Tesla. Or tell it to go out of the cast group becomes a device, basically, in that list. And so it never has an issue. And it's not just, hey, it's casting and it kind of works. It's actually a better solution to the entire thing. Because, like, so if I've started a cast with my phone, for instance, we're playing, you know, our par three here in the morning. Then I go to the desk and get ready to start writing. I'm like, I don't want to sit here and be casting from my phone all day. It's easier to go from the Chromebook because if something comes up I don't like or whatever, I can change it. Well, then I can go with YouTube Music. I go to the computer and I click cast, and sometimes it'll just join the existing cast and like put you in the flow, and then I choose a different album. Sometimes it cuts the music off completely.
Starts your cast.
Sometimes it won't find the cast group. Sometimes, like, it's just like, it just depends on
that.
The day.
And I get the, like when you're casting, I get the little music note in the shelf, and I can kind of control it, but it's not my cast.
Right.
It's,
and then sometimes if you try to join it, you can. It'll join, and then you keep going, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it stops the cast. Sometimes you got to restart it. Or you join it, it stops the music. You try to start the music, it doesn't work. You try to turn off the cast from the web player, and it looks like it turned it off, and then you try to recast to it, and it sits there and spins, and it's like, it's this whole broken thing, whereas the way Spotify has it done, as soon as I choose that output to a different selection, that cast session stops immediately, and I can restart
it if
I want to.
Which is a shame, because you would think that the company that created the cast protocol would have, because even simple stuff like moving room, well, I say it's simple stuff, but like moving rooms and different things like that, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so this has been a fantastic solution. Yeah. Like, I love the ability to just throw from one device to the next and have that control over it, and know that, like, if I'm listening to something, I'm jamming on it, I can pause it real quick. When I get in the Tesla, if I didn't leave, if I stop the music, if I'm playing something in a Tesla, when it wakes back up, it basically will take over the Spotify stream. It'll stop on my phone immediately, but it won't play what's playing on my phone unless it's not already playing something. So if I'm just on the home screen in Spotify or whatever, it'll pick up and be like, oh, this is where we are now. Stop playback on the phone. I'm starting playback here. It's like, it's this seamless handoff transition, and it's on all my devices, and it just works the way it should. I really do like it.
We need to, because it's kind of on their servers, we need to try the join. So
the join session.
The join session stuff. So I it's not even that I'm necessarily even casting at that point, right? It's just that I'm joining your cast session through their servers.
I think you can join my session even if I'm not casting.
Right.
I think.
So what does that mean? You pick up on what they're playing?
I got a playlist going.
On his Chromebook on the web interface, and you're playing songs, I can join that session if we're on the same Wi-Fi.
Right. And start messing
and start
around.
Adding songs.
Add some stuff to the queue, change some stuff, and so we can kind of share. I don't
collaborate.
I've not messed with it.
I haven't either, really. I remember Andrew one day was like, hey, let's both he was playing music. He was like, hey, you can join my session.
Yeah. Right.
And I remember it worked, but I didn't really think about it, and I haven't thought about it until literally just now.
It's all on their end, so you don't have to worry about whether the Wi-Fi and the cast session's doing like
and they must be doing it everything very well, because what did that Google announce something recently where they highlighted Spotify? I don't remember. It might have been it wasn't at the Pixel event.
I don't remember that.
There was something they did, and Spotify was like in the spotlight with it. So, I mean,
I don't know. There,
I'll have to go back and look. It was I don't even know if it was a hardware thing.
I feel like I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do too. I just can't place what it was.
Because I remember thinking, oh, well, they're talking about Spotify, not YouTube Music. But
yeah. It's like they're just like, yeah, okay, we get it. Most people are on Spotify.
Yeah. And, and that's the thing. I looked it up for the article that I wrote too. Like, they are by far the number one streaming platform in the world.
Yeah.
They're also the number one place for podcasts. Yeah. Period.
And that's
like most downloads happen through Spotify.
And so my thing too is I'd used Pocket Cast for a long time for podcasts. I also use the Google Podcast app.
Yeah.
But in Spotify, I can literally have my music and my podcast right there. So whenever I get in my truck, I can just tap the podcast and shows, pick up on that podcast right there. Or if I want to listen to music, boom, click over to that album that I was listening to. Like, it's so integrated.
Podcasts in Google Play Music at one point?
They started to,
right
before they shut it down.
But then they created Google Podcasts as its own standalone.
YouTube Music, yeah, they created that. And so it's just like, again, it's the beauty of seeing a company that has kind of one thing to focus on.
That's
all they do. And
no
streaming.
They're thinking
audio
through like, how can we make this better for people over and over and over again? And they weren't the best. Like, I did not love Spotify for a long time, and now I'm sold.
The video podcast stuff that they're introducing, I think most podcasts can do it now. I don't know if they fully rolled it out in the U.S. to where everyone can upload a video with their podcast. I know we got access through Anchor, but we upload on YouTube, so that's our kind of hub for that. But there's a lot of people that maybe don't have the know-how or the time to set up a YouTube and do all this different stuff. They can just set it up through Spotify, which is dope. But they have just like honed this product over the years.
Oh,
and I'm blanking on their CEO's name right now, but he was on the Tim Ferriss podcast that I listened to several years ago. And I remember just being like, this guy is like, got it. Like, he knows his stuff. And like, this product is really interesting. And I felt like it would evolve at that time. You know, casting was just no-go. Like, there's no option to use that service if it was not going to cast in the office for us. But yeah, it's like, it's cool to see them evolve and to use this like cloud technology, you know, like obviously they're a cloud company, like all of this streaming they're doing is through the cloud, obviously, but to have this cast stuff and
the way it's
using their servers, it's just very cool.
To not feel any drop off, like going to their web app, for instance, like their web app on the Chromebook is so good.
I still need to send them a message about the show notes though. Show notes are so broken on the web app.
Can you set, so you still have, you have both right now, right? Because you have YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube,
it's all
YouTube Red.
Having YouTube.
For y'all that remember that, YouTube Red. So is there a way to set that as your default? Like if I come in the office
assistant.
And I say...
So it's set now.
Oh, yeah, mine's set.
So I say, hey, G, play whatever. It's going to default to Spotify. Well, not for
Well, me. If you have voice match, set it for you. No,
voice match shouldn't for you, but...
For you, it's going to... Yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And so like at the house, in it, you know, it I feel like it does... I feel like it does a good job. So like you were saying, if you get into the Tesla, it's picking up on what you were listening to on your phone.
If I get out of the Tesla and I didn't stop my music, which I don't normally do. And so say I've been really listening to One Republic's newer album. It's not new, but and so if it's playing, and that's what one of those songs is playing in my head right now, so I thought about it. And so if I come into the office and I'm playing our kind of chill hop thing that, you know, we have kind of going on here, and I go get my car, it will take back over. So if my phone, say I had it in my earbuds or whatever, and I'm playing, as soon as I sit in that and the Tesla wakes up, like it'll stop in my earbuds and it'll start on it. Like the Tesla will take over as number one.
Right.
But if it was playing something when I left it, it'll start playing that again, which I kind of like that. At first I was like, well, I kind of wanted to do this. I'm like, I don't want it to be playing that's the stuff that we're listening to in the office. But sometimes it does, and it's usually if... I've gotten to the end of an album or something and I didn't start something else and I'm getting out of the car and there's no music playing in there. So if it was trying to do something, it's going to restart what it was doing. If not, it'll get out of the way and Spotify will start back what we were doing.
I need to test. So like if I say to the Max, our speaker, if I say, hey, play this, and I open up my phone and put my headphones in, I wonder if it'll pick up on what I had playing on my phone or what I was casting. Probably what was playing on my phone.
Because what happens...
It does automatically switch, though. So, like, I mean, if I put in my headphones, it automatically is going to start playing. If there's music casting, it will normally start playing. I just can't remember if it's what's on my phone or...
As a metaphor, the way I think about this is regular casting is like just connecting peripherals to a device with Bluetooth. Like, you just connect them and they connect or they don't, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. What Spotify's doing is more like hooking in a Logitech dongle. Still wirelessly connecting them, but I'm connecting them to this hub thing that then plugs into a thing. Exactly, so when I tell Google to cast Spotify, it's going to cast whatever that server's telling you to.
It's the Robbie Payne Spotify hub.
Right. Boop, whatever Robbie Payne is doing, it's going to do that thing. And so that's kind of the way it's going. And it's a lot smarter.
Yeah.
That's a much smarter way. What's like once you back up and look at it, it's like, oh,
that makes sense.
It probably should have
been
from
doing an account
that.
Level instead of.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's not stumbling over itself constantly, which I feel like casting is doing. Yeah. It's like, are you casting? And he casting, I'm casting, you're casting.
And the assistance in the mix of all of it.
And YouTube Music does, like some people look at Spotify and think, you know, the number of accounts you can have playing at one time is a limitation. It's like, no, that actually cleans up the experience a lot because YouTube Music, I can have it going in multiple devices at one time. And so then that gets even more confusing on which one's casting to what and who's doing what. And so it doesn't know. It's like, Robbie Payne's account's being used on four things right now. Yeah. So I don't know.
You were in Louisville yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Did your music stop at any point while you were driving?
I wasn't driving most
of the
day.
And do the whole, well, on your way up there, did you get the whole, your music's playing on another?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Because I came in.
And started
I got back from the stream. And I said, hey, play some music, and it said playing blah 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 on your spot, so I must not have voice match because it said playing on your Spotify account.
My guess is probably once the next track loaded, it probably shot back to this thing. Nope, he's using this in this car.
Gotcha.
Because
when I realized it said that, I was like, oh wait, no, stop. So it's like, huh, somebody just lost their music.
It's cool stuff. I've been enjoying it the last few months that I've been back on it, and it's just like a nice use of cloud technology to get something done.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all about. We love it. Yeah. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. Alrighty, welcome back everyone. Let's dig into an unboxing that we put out last week. And this is one that we saw out at CES and I think we were excited. We were like, this is a cool device, but we weren't like super duper jazzed on it or nothing.
I was too tired.
I was too.
It was the end of our trip. We talked about are we coming back to the show next time? Like, it was that mode.
It was
middle
strange.
Of our most packed day.
Because we knew it was a great device, and we were really happy that it was way better than the one that they had released. But the HP was all we were really worried about, and we were all ready to go home.
And it was we got hands on, and I was like, okay, this confirms it is better than what they've done.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll get it in the office soon.
Yeah. So you might have seen the Asus, gosh, I'm going to blank on the name.
Sure.
The first gaming.
So Asus Vibe CX55.
55. Well, yeah. I was not thinking 5601. That was the
5601 16.
That was the big boy. Yeah. So we did that video and then went out to Vegas and got
so
to see
two videos back to back. So their gaming Chromebook we did, and then we did the 5601 yeah. both, and it was right. like kind of poo pooed on both of them,
right? Like and
for good reason.
They, I mean, yeah. deserved we it. Have to. We have to share our opinions when they're good and when they're bad.
And it's great fun to do that and then go talk to your rep.
Yeah, they were yeah. they were like
and they're like, "Yeah, we heard."
Well, and like but it also because we had been candid in that video in those videos, we were able to be like, "So like what's the deal?" You know, like, it wasn't on? Like we had to like
and it was good that they you know, they weren't trying to they're like, "Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what we did. We rehashed the CM5 or whatever it was yeah, right. because it's what we had. We needed
and they
to
wanted to be
out.
A part of the announcement
laying around.
Yeah, they wanted to be a part of the announcement when Google announced cloud gaming is here and here are some you know, devices that are specific built for cloud gaming." Right. And I get it. It's fine. But it just didn't like that's not a device that we would recommend anyone really go buy. No. So, we see the CX34 at the Vibe, I'm going to blank on the whole name.
So Vibe
CX34 Flip. Yep.
It's
and
it's a terrible name.
Yeah. For we'll just call it the Vibe CX34. Yeah. CX34. And so we saw this thing in Vegas and we were just tired.
He likes
it was
name things.
It was yeah, it was rough and then we got it in the office. And did you open it before the unboxing? Mm-hmm. Be honest.
No.
I don't think you did, because I thought that was one we were like, all right, I'm actually cutting this.
I'm cutting this one open, because I'm like, hey, we've already done a hands-on.
Every now and then, we will open a device just to make sure everything's there.
If it's a device we've been waiting on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you specifically saying that. You saying no.
And also, like, yeah, we are unboxing it for you, but it's we want to make an unboxing that's, you know, knowledgeable and informative. Right, not just... Not a true live unboxing.
And so a lot of times, sometimes, you know, if I've opened it, I'll just open it and look at it and obviously make sure it power's on.
Right.
So that would be set up a whole shot. And
you waste
the
whole bunch of time.
But it's not like you're sitting there really, you're not checking the keyboard, you're not really doing all this other stuff. Like, you do save that stuff for the unboxing.
Like, okay, it's good, and put it away. And even if I do form any sort of opinion, I'll also reform them on camera.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I thought this about it when I opened it earlier, but I'm gonna get on camera and make up a new thing. Like,
yeah, no.
Just it's gonna be the same reaction,
right.
But I gotta do it for the camera sometimes.
And so unboxing this one, you just have to, I mean, obviously we'll link it in the show notes and everything, but in the video Robbie's like getting more and more excited about this device as you're talking about it,
because I just kind of, I don't know, I literally slept on that one a little bit at CES. Just a lot going
no,
on.
No, he actually took a nap on it. Yeah. He used it
well,
as a
bed. Well,
it's white.
Yeah,
it's
like it was on a wall shelf back behind where the counter where like the rep was standing. It wasn't like it was in this area where we could really do some good hands-on. It was loud. There wasn't a lot of place to mess with it.
There was that 3D
yeah,
laptop.
There was
yeah, Michael Fisher was over there with a mask on, and that was just weird stuff happening, man.
Yeah,
it was that
3D Acer. We talked about it in one of the other podcasts.
Pro Screen Pro Max.
Yeah.
Ultra.
3D.
But the 3D, this glasses-free 3D was astonishing.
Yes. It was wild. One of the coolest things I saw.
If you haven't seen it, Google
things.
It.
It's bizarro town. Hopefully, they'll put that thing in a Best Buy so people
I
can
wanted
see it.
To film it and put it on Instagram
there's
and
nothing,
shorts.
There's no way to do that.
But I couldn't. I would like tried. I tried getting some shots and I was like, nope, couldn't do it. But that's why they made that mask for Fisher so that
so
he could put his camera lens.
Yeah, because it tracks
it's on the eyes. Yeah.
The thing too. But even on his video, it just
still,
it's 2D.
Still,
it's
still a, doesn't look
you're
the same
only yet. Capturing pixels in two dimensions. So, but yeah, so that, all of those factors played into the fact that it was like, oh, here it is. It's here. It, you know, it doesn't suck. So that was enough for CES. Like, I just wanted to make sure this thing wasn't terrible. And then it came in, and instead of just like not being terrible, it's actually insanely good. I worked from it yesterday all day.
Is that the one you brought to lunch today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I don't use a stylus that often, but to know it's there, awesome. I love just, I think most, if stylus input is going to be part of the Chromebook story. Like, if you got room for a stylus, just put one in.
Put it in, yeah.
Like, all these companies have made a little stylus that, you know, they can just regurgitate it, put the different end on it so it slips in and fits, you know. And so I love that part of it. It's not, like, super dainty or thin. It's just not. But it's also not, like, grossly oversized. It's comfortable to hold. I love the finish of it. It's almost like a chalky kind of matte finish. Like, it's got a grip to it. I like that. The keyframe feels great on it. Typed quite a bit on it yesterday. The display is 400 nits. Stands up outside. I was at Top Golf. I was getting my car worked on, and you know, we Ubered over to Topgolf to wait out the time. And you know, at I was sitting in one of the, we're in 303, so we're all the way on the end where it's all glass backed. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's just tons of light everywhere. And I'm sitting up at the little bar just going to town. No big
350.
Deal. Huh? 400.
400, okay.
Yeah, 400 net. And like,
good on them.
And, you know, and it's smart like Lenovo. It cranks the Hertz refresh down to 60 when it's not plugged mm-hmm. in. So I didn't get to look at that 144 all day, but for good reason. Like, it keeps the battery from dying. Yeah. I worked on it and had it open most of the day yesterday, and like, it sat there like a champ. I'd, you know, just put lock on and go hit some golf balls and then come back and unlock it. So I mean, I wasn't babying it at all, and I think I opened it up to take to lunch today, had 60% on it. So yeah, I'm like,
it's impressive.
Solid. It was doing well. I had it open for 3 solid hours at Top Golf, and then at the little Tesla place, I typed and worked on that article. I think it was like an hour, solid hour there too. So I mean, it did really well, and I obviously had to have the display cranked up the entire time. So all that stuff's awesome. The speakers do sound really good. Like, it was dead silent in the waiting room at Tesla, dead silent, no sound. And so when we first got there, there were 2 people sitting there, and that was super awkward to sit 4 people in a room with no sound, like dead silent.
I would have turned some music on.
Yeah.
So when we got back over there, it was just me and my wife. And so we were sitting down, and I was like, I can't sit here and write like this. And so I just turned on a little Spotify chill mix, and the speakers are so good in it that,
yeah,
it was pleasant to sit and listen to it on there. You know, the trackpad's great, and the screen's awesome, and it's obviously super fast. It's a 12th gen i5, and what's the RAM? Is it 8?
It's 256.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's the lesser version, right?
Yeah.
The one that we got. Yeah.
We might have gotten the 16512. Oh, we did. We got 16512.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause there's, that one's 869, 769.
But they're both i5s, right?
Yeah.
That's the only, okay.
769 for the Core i5, 8256.
I would recommend the beefier one.
If you're going to go,
thinking about buying one,
770, spend 880.
Yeah.
Or 870.
That amount of money for double RAM and double storage is about standard for industry. It's totally worth it.
And you're getting that extra, you know, that headroom for Steam gaming, if you want to do that in the future.
Photo editing.
Yeah.
Like Chrome and 8 gigs of RAM is really nice. Chrome and 16 gigs of RAM is
nice. Yeah, it's just getting shouchy.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess, and it's got an RGB keyboard, too, if you want to mess with that. I still think the HP is going to have the best looking RGB keyboard.
It looks like, so sweet.
It's so, like, man. Rainbow Road looking versus all the rest of them. You know, color deficiency, I have a hard time seeing all the colors in it. I'm just kind of like, so I end up just putting them on white normally because I can't really see it anyway. Or doing like a blue, like a real deep blue is always nice on it. Like, I can see that really well.
Yeah.
But the reds and the greens just get lost on the keyboards. But the HP, I could see all the, like, the whole rainbow of colors. I'm like, oh, it looks pretty sweet.
Especially against,
on the white one.
Yeah, against that, were the keys gray or white?
They were white. I'm pretty sure it's all white.
Man, it was gorgeous.
Yeah. But I don't want to get off track. Like, obviously, we're kind of gaga about the HP, but
can't wait.
And it's funny, like, in lieu of that, a lot of times Asus tripped and fell in the shadow of the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook in 2020. So when that came out, same thing happened. 2 big Chromebooks get announced. The Asus should have been awesome. Like, it was thinner, it was lighter, it was all this kind of stuff, and had all this tech going, and it just was a dud. Yeah. It was a real dud. And you know, it felt like what last year felt like, you know, where they just kind of got lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And you know, the year prior to that for Asus, they had the CX5 and CX9 came out, and it was like, oh, Asus is back, and we made a video about it. Oh, yeah. And then it's like, no, they're not back. And it feels like the CX 30 or 34 is probably not enough to be like, oh, Asus is back in the game, but this is a good step forward. And it takes a lot of what they got right with the CX 5 and the CM5, and just, I feel like, hones it a lot more. Like, this feels like there were just parts of the CX5 that were like, this is good, but it's not the best. Yeah. You know, like, this is a great Chromebook. I can already tell you, it will get reviewed very favorably. Like, it's an excellent experience using it so far.
So is the bottom metal? Is there any metal on it?
The lid is
lid.
Lid's metal.
Yeah, which is pretty.
Okay.
They've done such a great job. They did this with the CX5 too. Like, of matching the texture and the feel, and then using good plastic. Yeah. Like, you can use good plastic and frame it up properly on the inside, maybe with some extra railing and stuff like that, to make it not, you know, wiggly and movie. Like, it's super sturdy. Like, you pick it up with one hand from the corner, it's fine. Like, it doesn't feel like it's creaking and moving mm-hmm. and bending and shifting and all that stuff. And so, yeah, the top is aluminum and the bottom is plastic, but unless I pointed it out to you, you're not immediately going to sense that.
Yeah.
And for a lot of Chromebooks, you open the lid and you just sense it. You feel it's top heavy. This feels firm and cool to the touch, and this feels sloppy and bendy at the bottom, and this is not that way. It's firm throughout. Well built. It's just been a pleasure to use so far.
So where I remember it becoming available when we were actually, Gabe, writing the article that it was available when we were in CES.
They were like, oh, I think it's ready now.
I think it's actually out.
Yeah. So it's
where is it now?
Amazon and Asus, as far as I know.
Okay.
Didn't BH Photo have it?
Oh yeah, BH Photo. Can you get
both models? Everywhere, or is it?
So Amazon has
three
the,
places.
Amazon.
We have it on Chrome Shop. All three are on there. There's one other place that's got it.
Amazon BH.
Oh, Amazon Asus. BH and Asus. Yeah.
So Amazon has they might have the bigger one now, but they had the i5 8.
Yeah, I think they and B&H both have that.
Asus is the only place I know that has the bigger one. Okay. I'm shocked because Best Buy had the Asus and the Acer when they first came out, the other Acer, mm-hmm. Asus. I can't believe Best Buy
is hit and miss with Best Buy. Like,
but that gaming, I mean, Best Buy has a cloud gaming Chromebook category. Yeah. I cannot believe that device is not there.
So, my guess is they probably signed licensing things with companies, so you can have this for a month or whatever.
Yeah, it was on Amazon the day we saw it, or the day
it
after.
Was pre-order at B&H same day. So, but it's available.
Pretty widely available.
I mean, it can go. You can get it.
Yeah, obviously, we're going to do a full review of this device, but sounds like you're recommending it. If somebody's into this device, if they're thinking
right now,
about getting
so far, it. Like, I've literally not come across anything with the device, unless you're just looking for the most like svelte and sleek and light, because it's like 3.7 pounds or something.
Yeah,
I
carried it back from the meeting
today.
It's
not dainty. It's not like gross and oversized, but it's not dainty. Yeah. It's not trying to be the slimmest, sleekest thing ever. It's just well made. And what's funny is, like, with a chassis like that, you can get away with it a little bit more because it's white. And so it has like, there's a flair about it that you don't get with a lot of laptops.
Right.
If that was a black laptop or like a dark charcoal colored laptop,
it would feel incredible.
You'd be like, oh, that's chunky. Was it
incredibly industrial? Is exactly what was.
So, it's funny what you can get away with just a little color change, and that's probably why they did that. I would think it just gives it. It gives it a little bit of flair again without going overboard. Like, you know, we'll see gaming Chromebooks probably eventually. You know, with more gaming flair to them, but so far they've all been like so tame that
you could take them to work.
Yeah, you turn off the RGB keyboard, like nobody else is going to know anything. Yeah. And, you know, let's not forget the Pixelbook, which is one of everyone's favorites over time. Like, it's an all white device. Like, white laptops are kind of sweet looking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going for the white HP.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, it's just cool looking. I have nothing really bad to say about that device yet, and hopefully I won't by the time the review comes out. But
it's been great. So you've mentioned the HP a few times, Dragonfly Pro coming.
I feel like I mention the HP at any time I can.
Gotta like, throw it in.
It's a Shure microphone there. Have you seen the HP Dragonfly Pro?
It's nice.
It's white,
there's a black.
It's
there's
white
a,
like that logo.
There's a black version that's like this.
I was thinking about the St. Andre golf guy when he's finding every reason to talk about
TPC.
Sawgrass. Did you know Sawgrass?
Oh my gosh. So another company that you wrote about this week that we wish would make a high-end Chromebook.
LG.
And maybe it'll come after the Dragonfly. Like, maybe the Dragonfly will come. The market will accept it.
We're at LG.
Yeah, LG Graham.
But HP needs to make a gaming Chromebook too. They've stayed out of that fight thus far.
An omen.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Acer, it's time for Acer to make a high-end Chromebook. And some people may hear that and be like, well, they have, you know, the 713, 714.
Right. Those are nice.
I would call those mid-high.
Yeah, they're nice.
Like, they haven't swung yet.
But, no. But have you seen their premium Windows devices?
A lot of people haven't.
They're so dope.
And that's what... I was writing a deal arc or something the other day, and I referenced Ultra Premium, and my idea of Ultra Premium has changed a lot in just the last 12 months, because 2 years ago, you know, the Best Buy models that were like the consumer facing Core i3, Core i5s, to me that was Ultra Premium, because that was kind of where the market was, unless you were buying Enterprise. I'm with you, that's middle of the road now. That's solid, consistent, good device. Sure. That I can recommend to people. But if you want Ultra Premium, you need to go Pro.
Yeah.
Or a Swift that doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's gonna be, you know, it'd be high end, $1,000 kind of range, and Acer isn't even come close to doing that. The 713, the original 713, had a config that was close to $1,000. And you know, Gabe did the poll, and we collected some data, and $800 seems to be the spot where most people are comfortable with a high end Chromebook.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I think that's a little bit on the low side. When you start thinking about materials that you would need to make a premium, because we're not talking about just a nice Chromebook. We're talking about like a premium Chromebook, because you get a premium Windows laptop and they're $2,000. I mean, look at Samsung's we talked about last week. You know, the Galaxy
Book
3.
Ultra Pro.
Ultra. when you put all of those components together, it just costs money.
Yeah.
Never mind all the R&D that goes into it. Have you ever opened up a laptop and looked at the motherboard? And what... The foresight that has to go into creating something like that is mind-boggling to me. Like, it's not like you can just off the shelf grab stuff and put it together like Legos. You know, it's like you have to start with this chassis and then think, okay, how do you fit that thing in this chassis? And okay, will that motherboard work with this? And like that,
you got thermal dispersion sorts of stuff.
It's just nuts. Especially when you start talking about super thin and light devices.
Yeah. Well, because if it's going to be expensive, it can't be chunky. You know, it's got to be super thin. Okay, well, it's got to be super thin and super light and super fast and super, you know. Okay, well, all that stuff costs money. So there's R&D and there's work and all the people you got to pay to build the thing to make it, and you know, 3D rendering and design and figure out how to make it all work and fit and test and do all that. And then think about the components you're asking to put in these devices. And so, you know, these $2,000 to $3,000 Windows laptops that all of a sudden people want that same hardware in a Chromebook, well, because it doesn't run Windows.
Right.
It's like, that doesn't make any sense. The value proposition we've talked about 100 times makes sense. I get, why would I want to buy something that expensive if I can't do XYZ on it?
Right.
No arguments there. But $1,000 doesn't really get you a ton when you start talking nicer components in a Windows or a MacBook type situation. $1,000 in a Chromebook, we expect everything, right?
Yeah.
We expect the moon gotta have and it the all. Stars. Yeah. Like, and so it's a weird conundrum for people.
And that's the poll kind of proved itself out as to what I thought the view of a good majority of the general public still, because there were quite a few comments on Twitter saying, why would you pay that much for something that just runs a browser or can't install apps on or this or that? That's still a general consensus for a lot of people.
Right.
And that's going to be Google's uphill battle to prove to people that it's so much more than that.
Yeah. And they have to. I mean, from what we understand, that's kind of the goal this year is to remove a lot of those hurdles that are removable now.
HP's taking a big swing with the Dragonfly because they believe that the market's ready for that, whether they know it or not. You know?
So,
I found another way to bring up that.
it'll prove, I think, the whole thing, one way or the other. It's either going to not go well, and we're, you know, $600 or $700 or $800 Chromebooks, or that's it. That's what the market's going to do for another few years.
Move up.
Or people are going to be like, oh, this is really awesome. And I hope they stick with it. I hope they stay true to the device as a whole, and, you know, make sure to kind of see it through and provide good support for it and stuff, because it took the Pixelbook, and granted, this was years ago, but it took the Pixelbook months before people were like, well, damn, this thing's good. Like, I love this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, journalists, reporters, people in creative spaces going, I was resistant to it, but I started using it. I'm like,
why I returned to my Pixelbook, or why I'm only using the Pixelbook. Yeah, it's really good.
And so, like, I think HP has the ability to do that now 10x at this point. I think there's enough people now that do rely on Chromebooks 100%, you know, that or do rely on them enough to sink some extra cash into a device
that's nicer,
and it feels better, and it's more comfortable to use. And so all of those things play out. Well, here's Acer over here that's never tried And to be fair, I don't know if they've even tried an Enterprise, have they?
Enterprise devices
like,
have just been...
I feel like Asus took their swing with a CX-9 in Enterprise. To me, that's not taking a swing. That's you know, what HP's doing is taking a swing. What Samsung did with the Galaxy Chromebook, that was taking a swing. Making a $2,000 Chromebook's a Dell kind of move. Like, we're going to make it, and we'll build it when somebody orders it, then that's it. And we'll never sell it anywhere. We'll never market it. No one ever knows it exists outside of those guys at Chrome Unbox, you know, and that's
go watch our one video we did about it 2 years ago.
And it's frustrating, you know, trying to talk about them because people are like, well, that's just for, you know, people in suits and, you know, in corporate offices and stuff that have the money to just spend random amounts of money on a computer they can hand out to their people. And that's where high-end Chromebooks have been for a few years now, at post Pixelbook, Pixelbook Go, Samsung.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Like, when we saw a big push, it felt like last year and end of the year before, it was like, oh, we know all these big Chromebooks are coming. They were all enterprise. Yep. It was all enterprise focused. You couldn't get your hands on them. It was so frustrating.
I mean, the Elite Dragonfly, we were so excited about. And yes, a consumer can buy it, but even right now, even with a discount, the cheapest you can get one's $900.
Right.
And it's not a bad, it's a great device, but it's still $900. It retails for like $14.
Well, and you're asking people to buy stuff sight unseen too. Like, you can't go to Best Buy and look at it and be like, oh my
feel
God,
it.
This thing's gorgeous.
Oh yeah, this is nice.
This
may,
one
that right there
different.
Makes it not a consumer device. It's a consumer device is something that people can see in the
go
wild.
Look
and
at
go
it
look at
it. And see it, you know, and know that, okay, well, I realize I'm spending my money on something that feels premium in quality. Yeah. And so, you know, Acer, Lenovo has done a couple enterprise ones that are bigger swings, but that they haven't really taken a big swing. I mean, what is their
that C14 is their enterprise of the Yoga, yeah.
Their consumer line that like their high-end Yogas look like this year's model is amazing looking, or they got that split screen one we saw at CES, you know, like stuff like that. They've not tried that obviously with Chromebooks.
And that's the thing. They did the Lenovo Yoga C630 back in the day.
Yeah, I thought they were going to start going down that road.
It's like, it's time for them to do that. That
was the only Yoga, right?
Yeah, well, they have Yoga Chromebooks that are EDU devices.
Well, and they've got the IdeaPad. So the blue one, the navy
one
blue
of them
one
is a Yoga.
Oh, that's right.
It's like a C13 Yoga or something like
anything
that.
Anything that converts from them, they slap Yoga on.
Yeah.
But I'm talking like the consumer Yoga.
Yeah, they're nicer
brand.
Ones. Yeah.
So remember we thought Peabody was coming?
It was totally a thing, and then it just got scrapped. Which is that's what that thing is now.
Yep.
That Peabody that we talked about years ago, it was a dual screen Chromebook. Like that was in the works. A digital
keyboard.
Didn't work out.
Yeah.
But Acer, you know, is among the groups that hasn't tried at all, I don't think. And they have it. Like, they've got the hardware, the ability, the scale. We've messed with them
some
multiple
of the,
years.
Yeah,
it's
some
not just
of
one
their
year.
Devices.
It's
the, yeah.
I, what was the new one? The Swift 7?
I don't
know.
I don't think
CES?
They put a name on it. It's just this new Swift.
New Swift.
Acer Swift. And so that they're instead of doing a 357 like they do kind of with Chromebooks, like those models, it's like what, Swift Go, Swift
14, and then a 14 X.
X. Yeah.
Well, the one that our CES,
we messed. I looked at it again. Yeah. We messed with the Swift 14.
The nicest, like
the because the X one gets it's a thicker device and it's got a big honking GPU.
Yeah, you get a big
GPU.
Yeah.
This one is like
the nice consumer, like normal
it
one.
Felt like it weighed this much.
It was insane. So we like they had a big, huge booth when we first walked in. I was like, "Oh, this is nice! Like, what the heck?"
Yeah.
And then they did the same thing they did last year.
Oh yeah, same.
They were like,
hall,
they were like, so, yeah. "Oh, you guys come over here," and we like walk into this like side room that's like this big like.
It's like a ballroom.
Like, much larger room than it needed to be, right?
Yeah. There's stuff in here.
Social media team sitting at the table doing stuff.
Yeah, it was just like a press type room, but like the press people are in there working. It was fine. I'm not dogging on it. But it was just not, it was a little strange, but they did have the Swift PCs over on the side. So we're filming the 24 all add-in one. We're filming the Vero EDU devices out now. We were looking at some of the other EDU devices. And then I'm over there filming, trying to get B-roll of this add-in one, which was strange because the lighting was weird, whatever. And Robbie's like, hey, as soon as you're done, come look at this thing.
Go look at this
Robbie's thing. Over there just playing with this little paper-thin laptop. And
so nice.
The screen on that thing was
big, huge
saucy.
OLED,
and
gorgeous
just,
screen. You know,
wow.
Fantastic track.
I don't know. What's the price on that guy? I wonder.
I don't know. I think they're like a $1,200.
Yeah. $1,200 or $1,400.
Kind of yeah.
But it's their premium end. And yeah. for a little while, Acer was back and forth on their premium laptops. Like, because they had Aspire was their like entry level. I think it still is. They had Swift, but then they have one other.
They have a Travel Mate, but they have.
It's another laptop brand. I don't remember what
Aspire.
It was.
No. Yeah,
Aspire. Aspire.
Yeah. I thought that was always their lower end.
Yeah. Maybe. What was the like creator brand?
Oh, that's
Concept D or whatever.
Yeah, Concept D. Yeah. That's their
brand. That's a different thing. I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name.
I feel like
of
they had two higher end brands, but it's Swift now. Like that's their thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, these laptops are just gosh, they're just gorgeous. I mean, it's like you all have the hardware. You have it. Yeah. It's right there. Just make a spec with a Chrome.
Yeah. We're just going to start putting Chrome OS on these and just show them. Just show them off. Look at this.
Let's just put Flex on it.
I mean, that's what a friend of mine bought a Samsung laptop at Christmas because he needed something just for a specific Windows application because he's usually a Mac guy. But he said it's like a $900,000 Samsung. I don't know which one it is, but
he said $900,000.
$900,000
or $1,000.
Every keycap is diamond. Yeah.
But it's
a sapphire trackpad.
It's a 12th gen Core i5. It's pretty standard.
It's gold plated.
8256, but it's sleek, dark metal, and just the fit and finish. And he said he got it for like a little over $500. I'm like, every Chromebook manufacturer should be making something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have the ability to do it.
Absolutely.
Like, they do. It's just choosing whether or not to do it. And again, for them, I get it. Like, manufacturers, anybody listening to this that's like, well, I'm in charge of the Chromebook team at such and such. Like, look,
you
we get it.
Suck.
No, we totally get it. Like, totally get, like, when you're looking at that value proposition for the manufacturer, they're looking at it and going, if we dump this money into this thing, we're going to have to sell it at this price in order to make our profit because they're a business. That's what they got to do. And so when they look at that price, whatever that price is, they have to decide if we put this out here at that price, is anyone actually going to buy it?
Yep.
And so that part's on Google to help these manufacturers get that stuff aligned. And I feel like that's the goal this year
is to
clean that stuff up so that it's clear, hey, it's okay if you want to go make that.
In some of it, I mean... some of it is awareness, right? Like just showing people what it's capable of. But some of it's kind of marketing too. Like Chrome OS has gotten this bad rap. And I mean, you know, people still say it's just a browser. You know, it's like some of the comments on Twitter. And, you know, why is it that some of these luxury brands can charge what they charge for some of these, you know, Balenciaga, whatever. Well, they've marketed it in such a way and people want to pay that because they've created a certain, you know, understanding around this product that people want it. And so, you know, I think just reinforcing, like getting it in people's hands, like showing people that you can do these things, but then also like a little bit of marketing and, you know,
and I think that's
creating a message that isn't the, oh, it's just a browser.
Yeah, and I agree with Robbie. I think that's where they're at with the manufacturers because for the last few years, it's been, you know, Chrome OS marketing has all been kind of like taking digs at the other operating systems and fun, lighthearted stuff, which is good. People need to know that stuff. They need to know it's secure. They need to know it's lightweight. It's safe. It's all, they need to know all that. But now that bed, that foundation has been built, it needs to be, hey, this is a viable, formidable option in the PC space.
Yeah.
And like, it's legitimate, and you need to consider it.
Right. It'd be fun for... I never loved the Surface commercials that were kind of like this, but maybe an idea could be like almost like case study type thing, right? Where it's like, I'm so-and-so, and I use a Chromebook to get my such-and-such job done.
Yeah.
I'm so-and-so. I use my Chromebook to get such a job. Right. Do you remember the Surface ones where I'm talking about? Where the one that I always remember is like the lady was like totally pushing overwork culture. She's like, I work 80 hours a week and I blah, blah, blah. Oh, like people online were like, cool. Like that's not cool anymore. Like that sucks. That sounds miserable.
Yeah,
if I buy a Surface, is that going
to happen
to me?
But it was like, you know, I'm a movie director and I use the Surface to get blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
done.
Right.
Yeah, we should just do that. We'll just make those videos.
Yeah, all right. Make our own commercials.
So yeah, I don't know. I think there's obviously still some evolution of the market. We got to see how the Dragonfly Pro does.
Yeah.
We're all very hopeful.
I am. I'm a little anxious about it.
I am.
We will shout it from the rooftop.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
What sucks is it'll be out, you know, in the spring or whatever they're going to release it. And then it'll be till the end of the year before we know. whether it accomplished anything or not.
Right.
So,
I mean,
it sucks to not be able to just know, like, it's here. Is everyone going to buy it or not? Can y'all just let me know?
Yeah, with some of our partners.
Did you sell out yet?
Yeah, like with some of our partners, we might get to see some of the clicks.
Hope so.
I mean, obviously, we know how many clicks we send to certain things, but as far as sales and that sort of stuff, we can track some of that through Best Buy and other partners and stuff. Yeah. So, like, we'll maybe get a little pulse on it, but as far as like a shift in the market, yeah, for sure. It'll be,
yeah, it'll take 6 to 8 months to know if it had any impact at all.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But, folks, that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching over on YouTube, make sure to give us a thumbs up. Go down there and click subscribe and click the notification bell so that you get an alert when we put out future episodes, weekly episodes like this, maybe an interview here and there.
Yep.
Just new stuff from the Chromecast podcast.
We got an interview coming.
We do. Never
know what
it's going to be a good one.
Can't tell you.
You better get subscribed and get that notification bell.
Is it Elon Musk?
No.
Yes.
He heard I bought a Tesla.
Yeah, he's
coming to talk to
us. Like, I've been waiting this moment.
I've been waiting for Robbie.
They bought one.
Finally, after 2 years of talking about it.
That is 100% false.
We're not going to.
Oh, you bought a Tesla from a used car?
Hey, if anyone...
Way to go.
If anybody from Elon's team is listening and want Elon to come chat with us about Chromebooks,
we would
be more than happy to host him.
Yeah.
We'll fly to him. Yeah. Okay.
We'll
that's
go to the
it.
Gigafactory.
Yeah, we'll go. All right. That's it for this one. We'll catch you all in the next one. See ya. Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.